This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery, just like Leicester City this season. So the only thing left to say is, you win. Order now on the McDonald's app. And you can also get rewards points delivered too. So that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants, 18 plus. Rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
You are watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Till I die.
Hello, good evening, good day, good morning, good afternoon, good night, goodbye. Hello, welcome along. We're back again, LTID TV from Leicester Till I Die. Thank you for joining us. It's our new show, week number two, Championship Roundup. And no, do not adjust your sets. Brad hasn't had a shave. This is actually Kate who's joining me this week. Now, whether Kate is shaved or not, I don't know. I don't want to know. Welcome along, Kate. Got over Saturday yet?
Well, I didn't go, so I didn't get that emotion that you get with going to the game. But I watched the highlights today because I was out all weekend and it was, it's a bit of a stinger, isn't it? Real stinger.
It is. Barn door with a banjo. Let me just put it that way. And if anybody wants to know my feelings on how we got on, just check BBC website tomorrow, bbc.co.uk/LCFC for the fans' voice. Insanity is pretty much doing the same thing every time and expecting a different outcome. Not Albert Einstein. I thought it was Albert Einstein, but it's not. Now, last week, Kate, I got 2 points in my predictions. And when you get 1 point for getting the right outcome and 3 points for getting the right score, you can see how bloody awful I was. I have done, in fairness, a bit better this week. So not too bad at all. But we're going to go through the games and just sort of have a quick chat about each one and see how teams are doing. We'll leave the Leicester one till the end because we want to try and keep you hooked as long as we can, guys, if you're watching. A 3-0 night. My God, I think my wife would have been impressed. I think this is the first for me.
Rolling back the years.
Rolling. That was a Simply Red song. I nearly went into my day job then. Right, here we go then. So let us have a look at the first game, which was Friday night. It was West Bromwich Albion 2, Coventry 1, which normally I would be very, very happy with. But I've got to be honest, I went for a different score completely. I went for a draw here. I went for a 1-1. Always happy to see Coventry lose, though. But these two, they're just, I mean, I'm not, you know, we'll come on to Leicester obviously later, but West Brom, Coventry, once you get past that top four, teams don't seem to have that consistency, do they?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a bit of a gap forming there now. They were so close for quite a while, but I think we're starting to see the gap open up now. And I think as happens with the playoff spots in particular, people do find some kind of form running into the end of the season, which just snatches that fifth or sixth place. And I think that could be West Brom, to be honest. Although the top four are streets ahead in terms of points, it seems like fifth or sixth are the only ones really up for grabs. But yeah, West Brom have done well. It looks here like they've just lost the 1 in 7 games before that. So yeah, they're on a really good run at the moment.
They are. And I'm just looking here. I'm just trying to get the form table up. I can't find it. Oh, here we go. Here we go. It's further down. I mean, West Brom, just looking at the last, you know, they've won 3 of the last 5. They've only lost 1. They're in 7th in form. Coventry down in 13th. Lost 3, 1-2, drawn 1. But they have lost their last 2. But like you said, you know, once you get past Southampton, who are on 70 points, it's then 11 points to West Brom in 5th. But that 5th and 6th place literally changes week on week, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And when you think there's still 33 points to play for, that could really still mix up. Because even if you lose a couple on the bounce, which we know is quite easy to do all of a sudden, it changes it. Because, you know, even with Sunderland tomorrow and Leicester playing them, I was looking at it earlier, and Sunderland are still in with a shout. You've got to keep winning, but it's still possible. And now I'm only on 47. But anything can happen, particularly with the 6 spot. You know, I think Coventry snatched it last year, didn't they? And
yeah,
they, you know, even teams like Luton have come through that system, and you just got to find a bit of consistency at the right time, and anything can happen, really.
It can. Although I was talking, obviously we just had the Sunderland fan on the show before this, which was the preview show, so guys, if you're watching and you haven't seen that, get over to OTID TV and click on the pick, and you'll see that it is up there. To be honest with you, he would kill for a playoff place. He is not confident at all. But we'll come on to Sunderland, obviously, in a bit. But like I say, it is totally, totally open. It was, you said. Arsenal, as Ronald was just saying, they're 5-0 up after 50 minutes. So, and 9-0 could be in danger here. Which I would be, I don't want to lose that. That's our record. We're not overall, absolutely, but the away record is.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then the early kickoff, Bristol City, Cardiff. I went for a Desmond here. It's going so well for me, isn't it, really? let me just get that game up here. What am I doing? But Cardiff, again, well, both these teams, Bristol, I went for a draw, but Bristol City, they can just as easily lose as they obviously did there as they can win.
I find them one of the most unpredictable teams. You know, when you're looking at accumulators or bets, I do some accumulators quite often, and Bristol City, you just never know. And it shows exactly where they're sat in the table, pretty much bang on in the middle, because they are as likely to let you down as they are to win you some points on your betting. So they're so unpredictable. And it's obviously a bit of a six-pointer, really, because Cardiff have put themselves in the mix with that win. I don't think Bristol City will be able to find consistency, to be honest, to really push for the playoffs. I think their results have been too inconsistent. I think the loss of Nigel, we know, can always upset the apple cart, and it obviously has. And Cardiff, again, I think are unpredictable, but that's quite a big win for them. So it'd be interesting to see how they can push on, really.
I mean, Bristol, the last five, they lost to Leeds, then they won two, including beating Southampton. I mean, this is just totally... This is why I'm doing so shit at the league. And then, you know, they lost to Queen's Park Rangers, Sheffield Wednesday. I mean, what the hell? And then Cardiff. Cardiff, in the meanwhile, lost three, then drew, and then won the last two. But, I mean, like you said, Bristol City... All right, we've just lost to Queen's Park Rangers, so I'm not saying that, you know, Queen's Park Rangers deserve that win, but, you know, you again on paper, you would say Bristol City QPR, Bristol City Sheffield Wednesday, they're going to win those two games, and they got beaten in both of them.
Yeah, absolutely. I think when you get to now the important end of things and spring's arrived, I think you're going to see a lot of those lower teams really scrapping, and that's when you can just pull out a few results because they're fighting for their lives. And I think it is hard to play the likes of QPR, as we've seen. Sheff Wednesday are going to be up for it as well. So, but Bristol City just cannot string enough results together to kind of gather any consistency that you need for the playoffs.
No, totally agree. Huddersfield Leeds again. I went for a Leeds win here. Pretty typical Leeds. And at one point, I was quite happy because Huddersfield were winning.
And I
actually watched a bit of this game while I was preparing for hours. And I got to say, Leeds were all over them. They really were. But Huddersfield were down to 10. It was like that film Zulu. Leeds were kept coming at them and at them and at them. Huddersfield held on for the point and they'd taken the lead. With obviously what happened later with our game, for example, Leeds fans must be kicking themselves.
Yeah, especially because Huddersfield were down to 10 for the whole of the second half, weren't they, as well? Which was just, it's an opportunity myth for Leeds. But being quite close to a colleague at work who's a mad Leeds fan, he felt like they just almost lacked a bit of bite and that tenacity. And they just were a little bit lackluster and tame, he felt, watching the game. So... you do wonder sometimes, and it can happen where you get yourself so het up for the game, like their game against us, they were so up for it, that it can just leave you with a bit of a hangover in the following games, because that's a massive game for them. It's a local derby.
Yes.
And to not go, to not get the points when you're against 10 men for the whole of the second half, they will be ruining the chance really there.
That said, in fairness, the Leeds, is always based on this is the last six games, sorry. Leeds are top of the form table, not lost in six, and that was the first time they haven't won. They won, five. They are on a good run. They've timed it right. If Leeds had had a better start to the season, because obviously they had all the troubles at the start, they'd probably be above us now.
Yeah, I think so. They won like 1 in 5 in their first five matches, I think. They had a real tough start because they had so many player dramas because the transfer window was still open when the season started, which is just ridiculous in my view. Yes. That caused absolute chaos for them at the start of the season. But they're on tremendous form. I mean, their Ellen Road record's phenomenal. They've hit the ground. They've hit the ground running now, and they're just well on their way. And yeah, their form is promotion material for sure. And Farke's done an amazing job. He's a great manager. They've got a real good front line as well. They've got one of the best front lines in the league, really.
They have. And they've got a manager that knows how to get out of that division.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's important, really. But yeah, the local derby screwed them over a bit there.
I think so. I think whoever finishes above Leeds, in fairness, is going to get promoted.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say that, isn't it?
Yeah, whether that's one place or two places, but I think that will happen. Like the next game, I mean, what a humdinger this was. You know, I mean, I literally, it went on for an extra 9 minutes anyway. We'd finished our game and I was still sort of, oh, there's another goal gone in. And then I'm talking to Brad post-match and he said, oh, no, there's another one gone in as well. It was like, my God, when you know, it's playing now, it would probably be something like 27-24 or something like that. But look, Southampton, again, we're on a fantastic run. I mean, amazing unbeaten run. And now they've only won three of six, but they've lost the other three. And Birmingham, yeah, they've got the new manager in. He seems to be obviously somebody that knows what he's doing more than the numpty that was there before. But again, form-wise, they're just looking, I think, to stay in this division this season. They've only won two of the last six and they've lost the other four. Including obviously ourselves in the cup, but yeah, what a game this! You could not have predicted this one.
That red card in it as well, didn't it? Yeah, Birmingham for sure are just looking to pick up points where they can to not get dragged into the relegation battle. Which I think they may have done enough. We'll just have to see, really. But Southampton are flipping annoying, aren't they? They just will not go away. Certainly mixed form though. I think it will affect confidence for sure. And I think they've got some tough matches against us and Ipswich to still come as well, away, both away. So yeah, I mean, these results are good for confidence. I mean, there's nothing better and more of a good feeling than getting a 96 minute winner, but at the same time it doesn't half take something out of you, so you've just got to control the hangover from that, I guess. But yeah, Birmingham will be kicking themselves really, because with half an hour to go with 10 men, you'd like to think you could perhaps just see it out and hold on, but not to be, which is very annoying.
I mean, Birmingham, they're in 20th, they're on 38 points. They could Stoke won at the weekend, we'll come on to that, but Birmingham could very easily get drawn in. Sheffield went, I mean, Rotherham, I think, are gone. I think we can all say Rotherham are League One next season. Sheffield Wednesday are on 35, and then you've got Stoke, Huddersfield, Birmingham, QPR all on 38, and Millwall on 39. And Blackburn on 39, even Plymouth on 40 and 16th. Any of them could be dragged down and into it.
Yeah, I hadn't realised it was so close, to be honest. I thought Birmingham had a couple of points grazed, but maybe that was a few weeks ago now when I looked at that. But yeah, flipping it, that is so close. Yeah, even like Swansea are only 4 points off.
I just went up the table.
6 points off. I mean, that's over half the division are in a relegation battle.
Yeah.
Like the Premier League.
I wasn't expecting that at the start of the season, because I thought there was, and I said to Stoke, there were three teams worse than you won't go down after we play, and then we played them and beat them 5-0, and I went, nah, actually I think there's only one team worse than you.
Yeah, true. But we all know from last year, on paper there was three teams worse than us. I think. But it's whether you can put the fight in and get the job done by hook or by crook, whether it's ugly football or not, can you get it over the line? So there'll be, you know, out of those seven or eight teams that are probably going to be fighting, there's only going to be half of them that are up for it, I think. That's just how football is. Yeah. But Birmingham may take quite a lot of confidence from that performance to give Southampton a run for the money. Southampton have been phenomenal. That 26-game run is absolutely phenomenal. I know they've had a wobble, which shows that we're all infallible and none of us are indestructible. And we're just going through our bout now. But yeah, great game. Absolutely great game.
6-0 now, by the way. 61 minutes gone, 6-0.
Stop scoring.
Go give us something, Arsenal.
Send some Arsenal players off or something, just to make it interesting.
Yeah. Let's give Sheffield United. Come on, Sheffield United. Come on. Get one.
7-6.
Yes. Yeah. Or at least get a goal.
Yeah, that's true.
This is how bad we are at the moment. This is what we're holding on to. You know.
Just like our records, we worked our asses off for that.
Yes, get off it. But no, I went for Southampton win there, 2-1. So at least I got a point. The next game would have obviously been Leicester QPR, but we will come back on to that. I went on this next one. I went again, I got a point because I went for a Millwall win, but I went 2-1. Again, two teams here that just, like, it's almost a case of like close your eyes and you know, write a number out blind. You just don't know what how these games are going to turn up. But, I mean, Watford, they're 23rd in the form table at the moment, Watford. Good girl.
About the last six, that's shocking.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, I mean, that was Rotherham.
Rotherham 1-0.
Yeah, you know, their only win is against Rotherham. And that's been awful. No disrespect to Rotherham. Everybody's beating them at the moment. But Millwall are only up in 19th. They won the last two. But, again, they beat Southampton. Explain this to me. I don't understand this game anymore, Kate.
I mean, if you look at Millwall in the previous game to Southampton, they lost six out of seven.
Wow.
Lost six out of seven. So, and the other one was a draw. So 1 point out of 21, and they're still not in the relegation zone. It's phenomenal, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
And they're not far off it. They're a point off it. But Millwall and Watford, again, I think Watford, as is always the case with Watford, they should be better than they are in the table. They should be better, but there's just always so much noise going on behind the scenes with that club and so much change has happened. It's hard to, it doesn't surprise anybody that it's then difficult to be settled on the pitch when you're so unsettled behind closed doors. So, you know, Watford could even still get playoffs if they could pull it together, but I just can't see it. I think they're on a woeful run. And yeah, to lose to Millwall after being on that run is shocking, really.
I don't think that Watford will get the playoffs at this point now. I think they are too far behind, and the form doesn't give any indication that they could do it. They haven't sacked the manager. That's what the problem is.
Yeah. Yeah, it makes a change.
It does. But then we had Norwich Sunderland. Now I went for a Norwich win. See, I'm getting better.
This is why you've done it in that order.
Yes. But I went, if only I'd got these scores the other way around, because I went Norwich City 2, Sunderland 1. So I didn't quite get there. And they scored quite late. We've obviously just had the Sunderland fan on. Sunderland on the last six games are in 20th position in the form table. They've just lost the last four games. Yes. Norwich, now, I mean, they've not lost in six. They've drawn 2-1-4. Again, with more consistency. I mean, Norwich were a team, when we beat them, that were up there. And I thought that they were going to have a bit of a go at it. But again, I mean, all right, they're in seventh at the moment, so they're only just outside the playoffs by 1 point. But again, it's inconsistency, isn't it?
Yeah, total inconsistency, which is a surprise of Norwich because, let's face it, they're fairly well rehearsed in this league. They've done this a lot. They've yo-yoed a lot.
Yeah.
So they know what it takes to get out of it. I still quite fancy them for playoffs just because I think they've got that experience and I think they can. They've pulled out a decent run at the moment. I mean, unbeaten in six is really good going, particularly when all the teams around you have dropped points, like you say, your Watfords that are just below them and people like that. So I think they are starting to get some form. And that's tough. What that does for confidence and momentum going into the final games of the season, that unbeaten run, it's quite contagious and it can be hard to break, like we saw with Southampton. Like Norwich aren't out of it at all. But yeah, I expected them to be higher. I expected them to be in playoffs for probably the majority of the season. They've had in some inconsistency and some poor form, particularly around the turn of the new year. And I think, going back, they had a really poor start and poor autumn as well. I think they lost, I'm just seeing here, 5 out of 6 games in sort of October time. So that screwed their playoff chances as well.
The interesting thing is, at the moment, is that Hull are in 6th, Norwich are in 7th, Preston are in 8th. None of them have lost in their last 5 games.
It's just all about doing it at the right time, isn't it? It's doing it at the right time. And it's all about pressure. And sometimes it's easy to, we're finding at the moment with Leicester, aren't we? It's easy to put a string of results together when no one's watching you.
Yes.
And that's what Norwich are doing because no one's really watching them. They've been out the spotlight. There's bigger clubs in the league that have caught people's attention and where the pressure lies, as Southampton, Leeds and Ipswich have put themselves into the mix pressure-wise now because they've turned their form back around since the new year. But when it's easier to do it when no one's watching. But in the last few games, if Norwich need a point, in the last couple of games. It's all about who can hold their nerve, really.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Now then, next up, we have got Plymouth versus Ipswich, who you just mentioned there. I think I went for an Ipswich Town win, 2-1. Damn you, Plymouth. If you scored a goal and they got 3 points, then bloody Southwesterners, you can't trust them to do anything right. Ipswich, some of you thought, I mean, I know, I joked with a couple when I went to see Jeff Stelling, that, and they were sat in front of me, the two Ipswich fans, and I said, this is probably the only time I'm going to be in front of Leicester all season. That might come back and bite me on the bum, won't it? Thank God we didn't
bite you in the bum. It's going to run over you with a tractor.
Yeah. Yo, bum bum. Like it. But yeah, fair play to Ipswich. They just, like I say, I've described them as that, you know, as the Black Knight from the Monty Python and the Holy Grail film. No matter what you chop off them, they're still coming after us.
Yeah,
and, I mean, I'd love to see Ipswich go up.
Yeah, I mean, well, if we weren't in this division, I'd be right behind them.
Yes.
But yes. Yeah, I mean, they've won 5 on the bounce. Let's face it, everybody thought with that blip at New Year that was going to be the end of their challenge. Yep. But do you know what? I think I was speaking to the Leeds fan at work about this today. I think the biggest thing about Ipswich reminds me of when we won the Premier League. You haven't got any, we had Vardy and Riyad, and I get that, but the outstanding players, there wasn't that many of them. But when you act as a unit in a team sport, there's nothing more powerful for me. And I think that's what Ipswich do so well. They act as a unit. Everybody knows their role and they're really disciplined. And to pull it back together when it would have been easy to fold after the New Year results. I think they won 1 in 9 over the New Year results, which is terrible. And they gave us a good game. They were tenacious. They didn't give up. And that's kind of attitude that gets you through. I still stand by the fact that if they don't go up this year, I don't think it will be the same next year.
No, because it never seems to be, does it? It's very rare.
Yeah, but I mean, considering they've just been promoted, I mean, what an achievement. What, even just to be on the points that they're on, let alone the teams around them, just to be on the points that they're on. But yeah, they're not going away. I think they'll be there right at the end.
I think they will definitely be. I think the top four is going to be pretty much the top four as it is now, in some order. I like McKenna, isn't it, their manager? And I liked him. He was one that I wanted to be Leicester manager before you know, we knew it was going to be Enzo, because he knows the lower divisions, and I'm being proved right. You know, I mean, I don't think who knows what would have happened, but I don't think we'd have been pretty much worse off than we are now if we'd got him as manager. My other choice was Thomason, who, of course, got sacked by Blackburn Rovers, so we won't discuss that. But Plymouth, I mean, look, Plymouth sat in 16th, 40 points. Okay, they've only won 1 in 5, but, you know, they've won 10, drawn 10. They're only on -6. They've scored 53 goals. They're going to be happy with how their season's gone, aren't they?
Yeah, I think so. And they didn't they stick it to Norwich? Did they win 5-0 or something?
Yeah, they did.
I watched quite a lot of that game, and I thought they were really impressive. I know every dog has its day and stuff, but
yeah.
I thought they were a decent team. I don't think they're to be taken not seriously at all. I think they can really challenge anyone on their day. But again, as that part of the table shows, they just can't get any consistency. And they'll probably be frustrated with what's happened there, because they'd have perhaps fancied getting a draw out of that. So to not even score at home, I think that's quite disappointing for Plymouth fans, I would think.
I watched the Plymouth Leeds FA Cup replay.
Oh yeah.
Or match. I can't remember what it was, but it was on telly. And I think it ended up something like 4-1 to Leeds. And it was no way was it a 4-1 game. And even the Leeds fan, we had the Leeds fan on this show last week, Carl, and he agreed. He said, you know, the scoreline was one of those games. The scoreline didn't reflect the game. It was down at Plymouth. It was a Tuesday night or Wednesday night. It was peeing down with rain, and basically Plymouth just ran out of steam. you know, yep. And they gave a good account of themselves. And I thought I had them in the bottom three. I've got to be honest with you. I had them sort of where Rotherham are almost. So fair play to them. I don't think they'll go down. I think they'll have enough to stay up. And I think if they do, they will be happy with that this season.
Yeah, I think so. Sometimes you've just got to, yeah, like with, I think Birmingham will be in the same approach, like just steady the ship this season. Try not to get drawn into it. Try and pick up points where you can and regroup and go again next season.
Yes, yeah. Right, the next game, which was Preston 2 versus Hull. I went off this one, Preston 2, Hull City 3. I expected goals in this game. What the fuck do I know anymore?
Good job. It's a good job I don't rely on you for any betting.
Oh, no. You see, I do not. The only thing I did this season was I actually did get an account with Bet365, because sometimes you can watch the game.
Oh, yeah, you can, yeah.
Yeah. But you've got to have an account and place a bet. And I can, because of the facilities I've got here, I should just put it to that, I can watch most of the games. But if it goes down, I struggle. And so I thought, oh, I'll have this as a backup. And I opened the account and I put a bet on. And it was when we were in the middle of our great run. And I put us on to win, and we did. And I think I put like a fiver on and won four or something like that. I'm the guy that sat there and said, when we beat to Southampton 9-0 at half, and it was 5-0 at half time, I turned to my son and went, there, it'll be a boring second half. And when Liverpool were playing Milan twice, I said at half time, that's it, Liverpool are out. They're not going to win the Champions League. And then when was it Crespo stepped up to take the penalty? That he missed at the end. Like, I'd put my mortgage on him scoring. So, yeah, never rely on me.
Those things. Tell me those things, and then I'll do the exact opposite.
That might be a good idea, yeah. So, my high-scoring five-goal game, 2 Preston, 3 Hull.
Nailed it.
0-0. I did, didn't I? Ended up 0-0. Pretty close to each other, though, these two teams.
Yeah, I mean, we've got Hull on Saturday and I'm not looking forward to it. I think they're a really decent team. They're in the playoffs. Yeah, I think they look a really decent outfit. They beat Southampton the other week, didn't they? Mm. You know, they're not to be messed about with, and I think they've found some form as well. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that on Saturday. And Preston, I've not really covered a lot of Preston. I've not really seen a lot of their stuff. But, yeah, they've also been on a really good run. So they're definitely in for contention as well. But considering, I'm just looking at Preston's record here, they've scored a boatload of goals in the previous five games. 3-0, 2-2, 2-1, 2-0, 3-2. Mm. So it's a bit unusual. I'm trying to come to your defence here. It's a bit unusual that they've not scored any game.
Checks in the post. but, yeah, no, you're right. I mean, Hull, yeah, obviously they've beaten us once already this season. Let's hope they're not another team to do the double over us. But yeah, I mean, they've not lost in five. And like you say, they beat Southampton. They drew with West Brom. So they're getting, you know, they're sixth at the moment in the table. So they're in the playoffs. And they'll be there or thereabouts, I think, at the end. Preston, actually, believe it or not, are actually fourth in the league form table.
I was just trying to look for that. Yeah. That doesn't surprise me looking at these results. I mean, like I said, when no one's watching, they've just come sneaking up out of nowhere, really.
But they do this every season. I mean, the only thing I really knew about Preston was that when I lived in Burnley, I used to always go and watch Leicester when we played Preston, because they always classed it as a family game and we get the kids in for a pound. And when you got four kids, I was saving a bit of money, I can tell you. So a lovely little club. And they had, of course, had Paul Gallagher there. I don't know if he's still there, to be honest with you.
Okay.
He could still be playing on.
Yeah.
But they do this every – they start well. I mean, when we played them, I think they were top of the league when we played them. And I thought they were absolutely awful. And again, yes, they've gone on that run, but they could just as easily go and lose the next game.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, they look like they've found a bit of form now. But yeah, I think we're getting into that part of the season, unfortunately, where results can go as wild as they can at the start of the season because pressure's building and everyone's just trying different things. They've got different mentality. Relegation are fighting for the lives. Playoffs, I mean, it can go down to 10th position, some of the playoff chances. So yeah. There's going to be some wild results that get thrown up, I think, over the next month or so.
No, definitely. Definitely. And in the next game, I went for, well, it was the bottom, it was a basement game, wasn't it? Rotherham against Sheffield Wednesday. Yeah. I went for 1-0 Sheffield Wednesday win.
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
I know. I got 3 points. My only one that I got right.
By law of probability, at least.
It had to happen. yeah, I mean, I didn't think there was going to be a lot of goals in this game, to be honest with you. Sheffield Wednesday, they are not out of it. They are giving a good, you know, giving a good fist of it, trying to stay up. 35 points, only 3 points off Stoke and Huddersfield and Birmingham and QPR. They've only lost one. They've won four of the last five, Sheffield Wednesday. Rotherham, it's good night Vienna, isn't it?
Yeah, I think even though mathematically it's still doable, I think when you're facing that as a player, you know, what is it, 16 points behind
yeah.
the next position, that's not even out of the relegation zone. You're 20 points from safety, it's just not going to happen. That's ridiculous. But Sheffield Wednesday, do you know what? I think, was it sort of maybe October time? They were adrift. Like,
yeah.
There was so fair play to them for putting that together. I mean, Sheffield Wednesday, as with any fan, I think any fan hates to see another club being poorly ran, fleecing fans for ticket prices, including away fans. No one wants to see that. So for me, just from that perspective, I'd like to see Sheffield Wednesday get out of it because they're an old club. They're an important club with one of our sort of foundation grounds that are still in existence.
Yes.
And it's a huge fan base. It's a huge fan base. So to do what they're doing, they're still in the fight. I thought it wouldn't have surprised me if they were in Rotherham's position from where they were earlier in the season. So they have turned it round. They've still got a massive effort to go. But, you know, they've hit some form and good luck to them, really.
Sixth in the form table, in fact.
Wow, yeah. I mean, that's out there, yeah. An anomaly from anyone from
above us. Let's just say that's above Leicester.
Yeah, that's mad. I mean, from the position where they were down and out, and some of the stuff the owner was saying and the fans, it was quite hostile. Like everything that was going wrong at that club could go wrong, did go wrong. So, yeah, they've done amazing. So tip your hat to them, really.
I like, you know, sometimes you get, teams that you don't like. I mean, and I don't mean sort of like, you know, your rivals, so like Forest, Derby, Coventry. I mean, just in general. Yeah, and I generally like a team depending on the manager. You know, I like Newcastle when they had Keegan. I didn't particularly like them when they had Souness, sort of thing. So, but other times, I just have teams that I just have a liking for. And Sheffield Wednesday is one of them. And of course, you know, our previous owner, Milan Mandric, who did so well when he sold us, and it's scary to think what might have happened when he sold us, because he sold Portsmouth and they went tits up, and he sold Sheffield Wednesday, because he went from us to Sheffield Wednesday, didn't he?
Yeah, he did, yeah. Yeah, he did. I mean, should have.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Away days are great, but when you can't play away, there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus. Serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Woulda, coulda and what ifs and everything. It's like a sliding doors moment in football, isn't it? You're either lucky with your owners and managers or you're not. And we've been on both sides of it. And thank goodness that Vichai and Top took over, really.
I mean, in fairness to Milan, his whole idea is that he buys clubs really cheap for like a pound, and turns them round and then sells them. He doesn't stay anywhere particularly long, does he? You know.
No, he doesn't. No, and if that's his model, that's his model. I never felt like Mandarić had a venom to him or he didn't pursue to make Leicester or drillers into the ground. That wasn't the intention at all. Whereas with this Chef Wednesday owner, there's some sheer stubbornness and venom about the way he's running the club and kind of like giving two fingers to everybody. And that's not what football clubs are about. Football's about uniting fans and bringing you somewhere to come to from escapism from your life, not to give people shit. Or, you know, I think I knew a Middlesbrough fan and they were being charged 50 quid for the away tickets.
50?
It was unbelievable. That was earlier in the season. And you're just like, what is going on? So it's similar for the home fans. If you're not a season ticket holder, the on-the-day price, the per game price of ticket is astronomical. So they're just not filling out the ground either, which is terrible, for Hillsborough's a great ground.
It's understandable at those sort of prices.
Exactly. It's eye-watering. It's not even top-level football. So... I don't like, no one likes to see that happen. No one likes to see that happen.
And in fairness, you don't buy a club going in to be popular.
No, you're going to make some popular decisions.
Dave Whelan at Wigan was popular because he got them success. The gentleman at Blackburn, and his mind escapes me, but the steel millionaire, you know, that pumped all the money into Blackburn.
Yeah, yeah.
He was popular because he won. And all right, whether we were as successful as we were, I think our owners are just on a different level because of the way they just do everything, basically. But it could go either way. But you do not buy a club you hope to be liked, and you know, but when it goes wrong, you've got to accept the book stops with you, as they say.
Yeah, and you just don't go to row with your own fans. You don't shit where you eat, as I always say. Like, I think at one point...
Just remind me to go out for a meal with you, please.
But he said at one point, when the fans were booing him and on his back about the performance and just not running the club as well as they think he should, I think he said at one point, if you keep saying things like that, then I'm not spending any money in the transfer window. Who says that? What's that? It's not a duel with the fans. Like, you're not going to fight with the fans. Like, just run the business. Like, keep your eyes on the money and on the business side of it, and just leave the football stuff to everybody else. I mean, no one likes to see that. It's horrible. No one wants to see that.
No. I mean, even last year, and I'll be honest with you, I had a moan at Top because I think he took his eye off the ball last year. Understandable maybe with post-COVID, et cetera, but yet they're there to be shot at. We love them. We're fickle football fans, you know, but I would never
expect, nor would Top ever go to war with the fans.
No, he wouldn't.
He would never come out and say, screw you, I own this club and you'll do as I say.
Yeah. Yeah,
no, he would never do that. It comes with the territory. You own a football club, you take the great times, the FA Cup wins, the Premier League wins, but you've also got to take the bad times. And people can be hostile and personal and really insulting.
Yeah,
but it comes with the territory sometimes, unfortunately.
Oh, I never got that bad. Yes, as whilst I blamed it.
Some people did, didn't they?
Yeah.
It does come with the territory, and he's paid very handsomely, and he's doing an amazing thing with this club. But he treats the club like he treats the city. He treats it as his home. It's all part of his city love for us, really.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, what, you know, if you're going to want to do things, whether that's changing the colour of your club shirt or, I mean, I can remember, and I think this is true, although I may well have made it up at some point, but they were considering when they took us over to change the name to Leicester Foss.
Going back a few years.
Yeah, and rebrand and sort of start anew, if you like. But they put it to the fans. you know, they said, what do you want to do? And the majority said, quite a big majority, in fairness, said, no, we want to stay as Leicester City. And they went, fine then, you stay as Leicester City. That's what an owner should be doing.
Remember the Cardiff owner who changed the shirt to red?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Yeah, he changed it to red, didn't he?
Yeah.
I get it, it's red. Red is the favourite colour of our chairman as well. But, yeah, you just don't do these things. Not without...
It's quite important. Football's a bit tribal like that.
It is. It's, you know, you can change your partner, you can change your pet, but you can't change your football team.
Yeah, well, absolutely.
I don't know, you know, ex Newcastle fan there. I didn't mean that always to go Leicester, there.
Always Leicester, but Newcastle was. I mean, who didn't love that Newcastle team in the mid 90s? Come on.
No, I agree. I'm sorry.
It's very, when people say football should be entertaining, they just need to watch the clips of that season.
Yeah. Brilliant. When Wenger first went to Arsenal.
Imagine VAR in those days. Oh, God, we wouldn't have had those moments.
God almighty. No, I'd rather not. But no, they were. You're like the Keegan years, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, yes, they were. And even Tottenham, when they had Ozzy Ardiles there. Yeah, it was. You score four, we'll score five or six.
Yeah. The two back-to-back Liverpool Newcastle 4-3 games.
God, I love those.
Like everybody remembers them.
Yes.
Everybody remembers that time, and you know Keegan just completely slumping behind the advertising.
I was about to say that. Yes.
Collymore going bananas, like that's what football's all about.
Yes, it is. Like I say, I apologise. I didn't mean that to go there, but it was almost like I'd written that. Anyway, right, next game. Brad's favourite team, Stoke City, hosting Middlesbrough. I went, well, here we go. I went 2-0 Middlesbrough. Stoke, well, you know, they've had a few managers.
You're not wrong. You are shit at this. Aren't you? Oh, dearie me.
I'll take that. I deserve that back. I am a little bit, aren't I? Yes, I will admit, I can't hide. I could just lie and just say, oh yeah, I got all these right. But
I mean, that was a bit of a coupon buster, really, because I think Middlesbrough must have been favourites for that. Stoke were absolutely dreadful against us, and that's only 4 weeks ago. They were absolutely awful. Middlesbrough were great against us. Carrick got it spot on with his tactics. Yeah. So, did they bring all their effort to the Leicester game and then slip up?
Well, I had the Stoke fan on, and I did a preview for them, which was like a pre-recorded one for their channel. And that was when I said, like, there's three worst teams. I think you'll be safe and what have you. And then after we beat them 5-0, they said, would you do the same again, but as a review? And I said, are you sure? You want me to? And he said, yes, please. I said, how honest do you want me to be? He said, well, you can't be saying anything worse than our own fans are saying at the moment.
Yeah,
and I went, fair enough. And I went, you know, when I said earlier, you know, when I said there was three teams worse than you? Yeah, I don't think there is, to be honest with you. But Middlesbrough, I mean, their season, if there's ever you can say a yo-yo team, not as in going up, going down, but between divisions, but they had that big run last season where they, you know, when Carrick came in, he turned it round and he got them into the playoffs at the end. It wasn't to be. They started off badly and then they were up there for a long, long time, you know, around the playoff zones. And, you know, they've done the double over us, for example, which, all joking aside, isn't easy this season. But they are sat in the form table. They've only won one and drawn one of the last six. They are 21st in the form table. That is not playoff form, is it?
No, and I'm just looking at some of their previous results. I mean, their current form is dreadful. But even just towards the end of the year, have they got a goal?
No. It's 90 minutes gone, and it's 6-0 still.
Okay.
God! My God, this is how bad we've been playing recently.
Yeah, you do look like an Arsenal supporter. You're celebrating like you've won the league already.
Oh, difficult. No, I'll take that. 90 minutes. Surely they can't get four goals in about the last
seven. How many minutes have been added on? Does it say?
It doesn't say. Let me just look down. It's they played 91. 5 minutes. Five minutes.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen.
Sorry, yeah, that's about as it. No, I need to get out more, don't I? I really do.
Borough have had are in a terrible form at the minute, and just before the end of the year, they lost 4 out of 6. So you just can't have. That's basically half your fixtures where you've messed stuff up and gone, had two really poor periods of the season. And that's why they're exactly where they are, like Bristol City. They're just completely unpredictable. Losing to Stoke is an absolute shocker. I mean, they were dreadful and we played them at home and, you know, at Stoke, and they were absolutely awful. It was awful. As poor as you'll see, really. So it's a long old way for the Middlesbrough fans to go for nothing.
It is. I mean, Stoke, that came out of nowhere. I mean, the previous win was, I don't know if you said this, Queen's Park Rangers, which again, at that point, was probably expected. But, you know, there's a lot of teams have got to play each other down at the bottom. And I think it's going to be scrapping. I can see that going to the last day, to be honest with you.
Well, they've got Leeds tomorrow, Stoke, at Elland Road. Oh. Well, but you never know. You never know. This is what I mean. This is where it's getting to the really unpredictable part of the season.
It is an unpredictable league, as I keep blaming it on why I'm not doing well in the prediction league.
The almanac. That's what you need. You need the almanac.
This is true. I mean, the guy that is winning the prediction league is actually a Liverpool fan. Premier League, and he's top of the league. Now, he does follow this league very, very closely as well. Right, on the next game, I went for a Blackburn Rovers 1-0 win over Swansea.
We all know who that is.
Yeah. I got the fact that Blackburn Rovers would score one goal right.
Went 2-0 down as well.
Yes, thank you. Make me feel worse than I already do. I mean, again, Blackburn Rovers, what a horrendous season. They had a really good... They only just missed out on the playoffs last season, I think it was, by... a goal difference. I thought they were going to have. I expected them and Coventry, in fairness, to be in the playoff area, so there or thereabouts. I thought they had a really good manager in Thomason. Again, they've got these owners that are from India, and I don't know how often long they're over here, but they had Jack Walker. That was it. Who owned?
Walker
Steel. He sold out. He passed away. Bless him. And his family eventually sold off to these chicken farmers from India. And I don't know how involved they are, but, you know, they came out, I think, at the start of the season and said, well, we're not going to put any money in. We haven't got any money or whatever. So it was always going to be a hard season. Thomason's obviously gone now and he's Sweden manager. I'm really surprised just generally how bad Blackburn have been this season.
Yeah, the one off the relegation, 1 point off the relegation zone. It's absolutely shocking. I mean, they didn't offer a lot when we went to Ewood Park, to be honest. They didn't offer a lot. I think, did we draw with them or did we win? I can't even remember now.
I think we beat them.
They were poor. They've got a couple of decent players up front. Is it Sigurdsson, one of the winger? He was really decent, actually, but they've just not got enough quality throughout the team, to be honest, and they've not been able to string enough results together. They're in the scrap big time, I think.
Yeah. I mean, they're the other team, of course, in this division that have won the Premier League. And I don't know, have they been down in League One since they've won the Premier League? They may well have been, you know. They may well have been. So
I don't remember.
Sorry?
I don't remember if they have or if they haven't. No. I can't remember.
I actually have worked at Blackburn Rovers, and it used to be a really apart from the department I worked in, which was a bit tricky, it was a nice club, and it was, you know, it was, I was the alcoholic working in behind the bar when I got the job there. I worry for Blackburn Rovers, but there's a lot of teams I'm worrying for, I've got to be honest with you. And Swansea were awful when we played them, weren't they?
Yeah, they were dreadful. Absolutely dreadful. I would just say about Blackburn as well. Blackburn has still got us, Leeds, Southampton and Ipswich to play.
Wow. Wow.
So that's
going to look tough for them, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for us.
Playing Leicester's probably not the fear that everybody had before.
Yeah, it's a bit of a daunting one. They've got us on the last game of the season.
They have. You're quite right. Yes, you're quite right. Let's hope we don't need something from that. Talking of Leicester, and I would wish I didn't have to do this. There we go. Now, I know you didn't go, and I know I've got the badges wrong there. Oh, no, I haven't. Sorry. No, I've got something going over, and it looked like two Leicester badges. God, we didn't start playing until about the 80th minute again, did we? I mean...
Yeah, so that when I watched the extended highlights on YouTube today, like the 20 minutes ones or whatever, and it didn't depict that. I've read that and I've heard about that from friends that went to the match, that we were awful, we were lacklustre, we were pedestrian, didn't generate enough chances again, we didn't shoot enough again. So it didn't really depict that on the highlights. The highlights that I saw, it seemed like Fatawu thinks he's going to score the Bournemouth goal every time he gets the ball. I saw a close Daka effort. Nelson's just about got in off the post. And then we got caught with the goals. We got caught with two rubbish goals to give away. And you cannot underestimate any side in this division. I know Enzo probably says that to them, but they really, really need to believe that and play every single game like it's Man City. Like, just give them full respect that these are similar level of pro player as we are. And they caught us. They did their homework and they caught us. I couldn't really tell if that first goal was offside or not. But either way, like, Nelson stepping in to try and play him offside, just go with him. There's no VAR, mate. There's no VAR going to bail you out. Just go with him.
Yeah.
And it would have been so... It wouldn't have been a goal. It wouldn't have been a goal if it had gone with him. But you're still in a fight, and we're stupid to think that we're not.
74% possession we had to their 26, 18 shots to their 3, 5 on target to their 2, 9 corners to their 0, to their 0,
wow.
And we still lost 2-1.
We still conceded two goals and we didn't concede a corner. What the actual hell?
I know, exactly. They had 3 shots, 2 on target, 2 goals. Look, fair play to them. I really try not to be one of these fans that says, well, QPR only won because we were rubbish, because I hate it when players say about that. They did a job on us. They've got a good manager in there now. It wasn't the QPR that we played earlier in the season. And to be honest with you, I think we only won that because they got the player sent off. It wasn't the easiest of games.
Wink scored that goal at the end, didn't he?
Yeah. I mean, Wink's... He looked like he was trying to equal what he did against QPR in the first game, because he was having shots from virtually the halfway line. Fatawu, he needs to have a word. Someone needs to have a word in his ear and say, look, that goal you scored against Bournemouth was fantastic, but you've been trying to do that for 30 games. You've only done it once against Bournemouth.
Yeah, you're not being honest.
No, don't think you're going to do it every time now. And he was trying to do this. And don't get me wrong, if it had gone in, I would have been, you know, as happy as everybody else. But come on, I mean, but then again, it's awkward, because if he wasn't having a go, we'd be complaining.
I think it's just a time and a place. Like, the Bournemouth was a time and a place, because the players parted, Nacho was tied up and was able to pass back to him, so there wasn't really a lot of option. But the one that I saw, I think it was in one of his earlier efforts, like, Pratt was free on the right, to just then put a proper cross in. So he's just very blinkered at doing that shot, and just stop it. Like, Enzo must have gone nuts at him, because you know what he's like about wasting possession.
Went nuts at him.
You know, you're not going to do that. I get your enthusiasm, but you've got to curb it and you've got to channel it correctly. But it sounds disappointing all round. But I'm still of the opinion that we've said for the past, probably for the whole of 2024, we've got a blip coming.
I have, I've been saying that.
And when I've looked back, through, I looked at some of the fixtures today and some of the results. So Leeds won 1 in 5 in their first 5 games. Southampton lost 4 on the bounce in September. And Ipswich won 1 in 9 over Christmas, New Year period. They've had their blips, and Southampton are obviously in a little bit of one again, to be honest. So we've done incredibly well to get here with minimal blips, but also we've done incredibly well and we've got the points in the bag that 3 defeats on the trot and we're still 3 points clear. And I know that might be just trying to fish for positives, but that's how we've got to address the next 11 games now, that it's in our hands, but we've got to work for it. But I do feel with Leicester that when the smoke's up our backside a bit, we do tend to respond, and I'm hoping that's going to be the case.
Yeah, I mean, I was one of those that I have always said, haven't I, you know, on these shows, that when is our blip going to come? You know, hopefully we've had it and it's over. But, you know, look, I mean, let me just bring the... I think I've got the table here. Yes, I have. That's the bottom. And just very quickly to talk about that, it's anybody's, apart from Rotherham, and I think everybody would say, like you said earlier, technically not, but...
The whole of the bottom half. Yeah. Well, excluding Rotherham, but yeah, unbelievable. Yeah.
It is unbelievable. It's a whole great league, because again, you could say that about the top of the league, you know, is totally open again.
Yeah, 35, nearly a whole Premier League season and you're still all that close. It's pretty unbelievable.
It is. And the interesting thing is, we played 35. This game that we are playing tomorrow, is that, how many games do we play in the Premier League?
38.
Isn't it? So we've nearly played a full season already.
And we've had a decent cup run.
Yeah, yes, we are still in the cup, and Chelsea, I think, are beatable. But look, we're 3 points ahead of Ipswich. We've been in this position before.
We were four points ahead after Boxing Day.
Yeah, and every time, sort of, you know, we think, oh, Ipswich are losing, they come back and win. Like I say, they are that proverbial black knight. Are we hitting the panic button too soon? Or is it the fact that our own success has caused these problems? Because four losses, 7 in a season, it's not exactly something that you would normally be complaining about, is it?
No, not at all. This is such an unusual season. For those 4 teams to be on 70 points or over is pretty phenomenal. That top 4 teams ever averaging 2 points a game or more, which is unbelievable. Yeah, I don't know what to make of it, to be honest. I think I'm not hitting the panic button, but I'm definitely feeling a bit uncomfortable and a bit action has got to be taken. Remedial action needs to be taken. I don't know what form that comes in. For me personally, the biggest thing Enzo needs to get his head around and adapt to is when Ricardo isn't fit, Hamza doesn't do that job, he is not good enough. And it's such a crucial position that it really does balls it up if you've not got the right player in that. It's absolutely critical to how he plays the game when you've got the ball. Vestergaard missing is obviously another big thing, but Hamza is not at all anywhere near a replacement for Ricardo. So you've got to go back to the drawing board and think about it, whether it's 3 at the back, whatever it is, whether it's a traditional 4-4-2, whatever it is, that's the thing for me is, Enzo has to respond now because he hasn't got Ricky for a month. He hasn't got Pratt for a month. And Vestergaard's out again tomorrow. I think he's asking for trouble if he puts Hamza in that right-back position tomorrow. I genuinely think he's asking for trouble.
We did the teams earlier, and I'm not going to go through them, and I haven't got them to bring up. But I said this against QPR. I think you've got to play Cody. I think we need that old experience, not old, but, you know, the older experienced head. There and Ben Nelson, he's not done anything that is, you know, desperately wrong. You know, yes, he's made mistakes, etc., but, you know, he's not absolutely shit awful. But I just think we need that head on him now. You know, that it's like a Wes Morgan, you know, or a Matt Elliott to come in and just say, all right, let's calm down here, you know.
Every opposition that plays against our defense, and I'm sure QPR would have been at it, they'll be chatting some shit in his ear. Mm. And when you're young and you're trying to make your name and concentrate and not upset the manager and just do what you've been told to do, you don't need that constant off-putting. No. You're rubbish. You're too young. You know, there's gonna. Whereas Cody, you just know he won't even bother about that. Like bite me. Like he. It's that kind of stuff that you don't see. That, you know, Vardy's the king of it. It can really upset you and really put you off. And you know, you do want a real experienced head, because we've seen what that brings, having Vestergaard in there, who's in that kind of similar experience mold. But Enzo just needs to...
I can't believe you're saying that. I can't believe you're saying such nice things.
No, he just needs to accept that if the personnel aren't available, you've really got to rethink and just not lose. Like, if we get a draw tomorrow, it's not the end of the world.
No.
We've just got to approach it differently. I don't think there's lackluster. I don't think there's complacency. I just think... we're just having a bit of a wobble. We've set an unbelievable precedent. We've set such a high bar. Yes, it's hard to keep that anyway. So, and the hunting pack, we've got to respect them. It's not like, oh, we've lost 12-point lead. It's Ipswich, Leeds and Southampton, who have been on the cusp of record-breaking points totals as well. It's not like we're flipping losing to Chef Wednesday.
No.
Being clawed back. So it's uncomfortable. I wouldn't go as far to say I'm worried. No. But it's uncomfortable, and I'm ready for the blip to end now. It's
interesting what you said about Choudhury, because when I did my team, I did put Choudhury in that role, because he has done that role and he's done it reasonably okay. The last few games he hasn't, I will admit that. But the interesting one that when Brad did his team, he put Doyle on the left and he put Justin into that role.
Yeah, I prefer that, quite frankly. When for QPR's first goal on the weekend, Nelson obviously checked in to keep the guy offside, but it didn't work. So the guy's free. So he's pegging up the wing or the outside of the box, if you like. And the guy in chair is behind Hamza. No other player from Leicester is behind Hamza. All he had to do was look over his shoulder and he'd have seen chair make the run. But he didn't look over his shoulder once. And that just isn't happening with Ricardo. It isn't happening with Winks. He has no spatial awareness when there's a quick break. And that's where it falls down for me. Like, Hamza could keep up with Chair there. And he didn't track it. He wasn't even aware. And that's the concern. I think right back he does all right, but he can't come into the middle. It's too responsible for me.
Again, it's one of those where Enzo's tried to develop him into maybe a different role. It's worked with some players, Ndidi, you know, but it's not going to work with every player. The other disappointment, and we'll end on this then, is the fact that Pratt's injured. I mean, it had to happen, I guess, didn't it? the odds were...
Why didn't you predict that one?
No. Well, I'd given up on that. I thought he's playing well now. But what I liked... with Fatawu, the understanding he had with Ndidi was amazing. He would play a ball into absolutely nowhere, not a Leicester player there, knowing that Ndidi was going to run onto it. And he's got that understanding with Pratt. It was happening so much. I was watching Fatawu, and he'd say, play the ball down the line, and then Pratt would come steaming in from absolutely nowhere to get it and get the cross in. Once Pratt went off, that wasn't happening. And I think maybe that's where the Fatawu was coming more into. I don't know if he did it when Pratt was on, didn't he? But I think it's a shame, because I don't know if he has that with Eunice or Iheanacho, to be honest with you.
No, he doesn't. I don't think he does. Nacho, possibly. But I think Eunice showed quite a lot of himself, didn't he, in the Bournemouth game, good and bad. Yeah. I think we got to see a real full circle of him in that match. Good and bad. I think he lacks in a lot of areas. He's really skillful, but he's just not got some of that awareness, really. And I think we've said before, if Pratt can stay fit, he's a real good footballer, a real good football brain, and he's just so dependable. A bit like Albrighton in that dependable. Yeah. He never has a crap game. He's not necessarily always outstanding, but he's always a good seven. Always.
Good game, yes.
And you always know he's reliable and will be where he needs to be. So it's a worry. We've lost some key players at a rubbish time of the season, but that's
again,
when the youngsters
it had out. To happen, didn't it?
It had to happen, know? And Enzo even said today, indeed, he might be back next week.
Yeah. I worry that we're pinning too much on Ndidi, because if he does come back next week, it's going to take him a few games to get back up to match fitness.
Yeah, true. But even if he can do 60 minutes, the ground he covers is pretty unbelievable. And it's just his own legs, isn't it? He can just get to the ball. Like, his build helps him with that.
Maybe a half-fit Ndidi is better than a lot of the other players, you know.
One half would do, but... Yeah. I don't want us to panic. I don't want the players to panic. And I said this earlier on something else, that we're asking a lot of the players. We're asking them to not be pathetic, not to give up, not to be lackluster. But the same goes for us fans. We can't expect the players to behave one way and us fans throw a load of abuse on the other side. We've got to get behind them. Like, Ellen Road showed what the 12 man's capable of for me. And we really need to get behind the guys and say, you've got this. You've just been through a bad path, but you've got it. It's still in your hands. And we're just looking at third. I don't care who comes second. I don't even care if we come second. It's all about third.
Yes. And it's almost like it's good that it's away. Because, like, I noticed this when I went to Southampton and when I went to Bournemouth. The away fans are, and no disrespect to fans in general, but those fans that travel and go away, and I think it's the same for virtually every team, they are that bit more madder, aren't they? They are that bit more committed.
It's always the same.
Yeah, and they make that. So maybe that's what we need, because, you know, get behind that we probably wouldn't get probably at the KP. I mean, Yunis, for me, had a brilliant game against Bournemouth. He ran his socks off. He just didn't have the end product. But at the end of the day, you could see that the Bournemouth players did not want to tackle him.
Yeah, because no one can deal with anybody winning at them.
No.
Ever in the history. You've got to foul them. You've got to foul them.
But the thing is, you might then give a penalty away. So exactly, he's got that. And when you look at Leeds' last two goals, the two winning goals, you know, they were both deflected. Now, Eunice is shooting, and his shooting's all over the place, but that could hit somebody's arse and go in.
Absolutely. I'd love to see us do more of that. Like, even with KDH's attempt that then ended up falling to Nelson to score on Saturday.
Yeah.
When do we ever pepper a keeper? We don't. We just pass a nice goal into the back of the net. Just have a go. Inside the area, especially. I'm not a massive fan of shooting from outside the area, you know, just because you can see the goal. But inside the area in particular, there's so many times you scream at the TV or at the ground, and you're like, just hit it. And then they'll do another pass back or whatever. Like, I'd love to see us pepper the keeper a bit more, because you genuinely don't know in a penalty box. It's like a pinball machine. It can, a tiny deflection just takes it out of the way of the keeper. So
it does indeed.
Just
it
a bit
does.
Of belief. But Sunderland, I thought, were the most high-pressing, one of the most high-pressing teams we've seen at the King Power. So hopefully they're a bit like that again tomorrow, which means it's quite an open game.
Well, while you're here, I'm going to take your score prediction.
Oh, God.
You weren't ready for that, were you?
No, I'm going to go for 1-0 Leicester.
1-0. Oh, can I just say that I've gone 2-1 Leicester, so we're going to lose. Brad went 2-0 in his predictions, but he did change it to 2-1 for the show. But Paddy, who was the Sunderland fan, actually agreed with you, and he went 1-0 Leicester.
Yeah.
I take it you're not going tomorrow night.
I'm not going tomorrow night, no.
Well, if you want to come on at all, let me know.
We'll do.
We're doing the watch along, but you'd be most welcome. Kate, it's a bit late, so I better let you go. Thank you so very, very much for coming on. And I like this show. I might do this again.
All right. See you soon.
Take care. Thanks so much. Bye. Oh, just give a shout. Sorry, I didn't say where people can follow you. I do apologise.
Oh, yeah. Please follow me on Twitter at KateBlakey40. So hopefully see you on there.
There you go. Just make you big. That was for Dave, by the way. Okay. I'll see you at some point. Take care, Kate.
Bye-bye.
So thank you very much to Kate. She's got work in the morning. I've got to be up for the breakfast show on Surrey Hills Radio. So I'm going to be knackered tomorrow. Third show of the day. Don't say I don't give my all to this club. if you do want to have a look at the show we did earlier, we did the preview show against Sunderland, and we had Paddy on, like I just say, from the Roku Report. A really nice guy. Go over there, check that out. Leicester Till I Die TV, LTID TV on YouTube. Either will bring us up, and you can you'll be able to watch the preview, and you'll also be able to watch one that we did this afternoon, which was after the breaking news. Whether you believe it or not, it's in the Sun, it's in the Mercury, it's in the Yorkshire Post, which is the Leeds paper owned by the same people that own the Leicester Mercury, so it's hardly surprising. The possibility of a points deduction for the Foxes if we get promoted. Won't be this year, could be next season if we go up. We have a chat about it, go over there and check it out. Thanks to Kate. Like I say, thank you to everybody that's watching. A little bit different, this is the second show. Add it in the comments below. Please subscribe to the channel if you're new. Please smash the likes as well if you're in here. That really does help the channel as well. And let us know in the comments below if you want to see this show again. This is the second one we've done. It's quite fun, actually. But let us know your thoughts if you want us to carry on doing it. Thanks very much. Take care. Thank you for listening if it's on the podcast. Thank you for watching if you're on YouTube. And I will see you tomorrow for the watch along from 7 o'clock. Good night.
Thanks for watching. These videos are tremendous. You'd better like them too, or I'll be back.
The TalkSport Fan Network is the ultimate on-demand destination for the UK's best fan-led football podcasts.
Including Leicester Till I Die, independent analysis and reaction for the Foxes faithful.
The TalkSport Fan Network.
Unbeatable club-dedicated content created by the fans, for the fans.
Follow the podcast on the TalkSport Fan Network.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping, and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.